The disciples' response and Jesus' answer. So the last three verses, his disciples now said unto him, they've heard what he said. It's obvious what he's just said. If this case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive the same, except to whom it is given. And then he talks about the eunuchs. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So the disciples' response makes it obvious that they understood what Jesus was doing and saying. They understood it to mean that he was restricting divorce. Very, 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 very narrowly. Because notice what they said. They reacted and said to Jesus, and I think I kind of made up my own quote here, but this is what they said. It must not be a good idea then to get married. If marriage is that permanent, if marriage is that, and how do you say that word? Disillusion? Is that dissolving of a marriage? Is not to be done. That's what Jesus said. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Then maybe it would be just better not to get married at all. That's what they were saying. It really seems to understand that they thought Christ was teaching a very restricted meaning of fornication. Not for any old reason. Okay? So they thought if it was one man, one woman, and no divorce, then it would be better not to get married at all. The disciples were immersed in a culture that tolerated divorce for any and all reasons. And perhaps these men thought of all kinds of situations where if they had got married, marriage could become very of a burden. Okay, perhaps that came to their mind. I don't know that. But you know what? In our society, there are many reasons that people get married. I mean, that there's marriage, and then there are a lot of reasons where the marriage becomes a burden. For one party, for sure, if not the other. Pornography. Take that one. You can't tell me that pornography doesn't add a burden to a marriage. Drugs and alcohol cause abuse. You can't tell me that doesn't cause... I'm not advocating that those are reasons for divorce. I'm just saying that we could say the same thing. You know, it'd be better. We don't even want to get involved. We have a problem. If we cannot get divorced for any old reason, then it's best just not to get married. That kind of seems. So what does Jesus say in response to that? Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes some sense. Okay? So let's just remain single, the disciples say. But he said unto them, verse 11, all men cannot receive this saying except to whom it's given. In some semblance, they were actually right. They were actually right that in some cases it may be, and Jesus is going to say that, it may be actually better to remain single. That's what he's about to say here. And he said, all men cannot receive this saying except to whom is it given. There are some that it will be given. And basically Jesus is saying singleness is a valid option. In fact, he's going to give us three illustrations of that. So singleness is a valid option. Not everyone, second here, what he's saying, not everyone will accept what the disciples just said. There's going to be some people that want to get married. Can anybody relate? Of course. Those of us who have been married, there was a reason we wanted to get married. Whether it was a right or wrong reason at that time, we wanted to get married. Okay? So he's saying that there are going to be some that can't accept your singleness option. And they aren't going to like that, whoever of the disciples were saying. Maybe it was all of them, ultimately. Okay? Thirdly, Jesus says that some people have been given the ability or this gift. Okay? And that's where he's going to show it in verse 12. There are some that is, they can stay single. But let me tell you, not everybody will. And we know that. Paul, by the way, advocates it's okay to be single. Corinthians. Singleness is not bad. Okay? I hate to say it, I've heard this too many times, that singleness is often looked down in the church. I just heard it recently again. So, we should not put singleness down ever. Marrieds are not more important than singles. Singles can do things that marrieds cannot do. So I don't want to hear in this local body that because one or the other, for some reason, a young person is not getting married, that's a bad thing. Now, we can pray that they find a godly spouse, but let me tell you this. I would rather they find no spouse than one that's ungodly. Okay? Because I've seen too many times, and some of you have as well, that Christians follow in and marry an unsaved spouse, and it doesn't work out very well. So, and to be honest, and I don't want to go off singleness too much here, but to be honest, I don't know how many some young Christian singles are out there. There are some, but it seems like there's getting fewer and fewer. Okay? And between video games and pornography and internet and media, doesn't seem to be a whole lot of good young men left. Now there are, okay? There are some. But the point being is, if you can't find a good one, I don't go for second best, quote unquote. Don't go for somebody that's ungodly at that point. And I've seen it happen. They can't seem to find a good Christian, quote unquote. And so then what do? They settle and they go find somebody that is immersed in the culture and in ungodliness. And it ends a disaster just about every time. Okay. And hopefully you agree with me on that, because I've seen it. Verse 12. Jesus now says, there are three ways singleness can happen. Here they are. There are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs who are made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Okay, so Jesus gives three ways that singleness are listed here. Now, a eunuch was someone who didn't engage in sexual activity. Okay? And again, I understand we got multiple levels of kids here and different things, and I'm not going to go into any more detail on that, but that's generally what the definition of a eunuch is. Now, some are born this way, Jesus says. Here's the first class, and there's a nice way to alliterate this, and I didn't, because I doubt you're going to use this too much in your future ministry a whole lot, but maybe once, but you won't use it because of my alliterated outline. Okay, first thing. This person either couldn't do it, and there could be valid reasons as to why they couldn't, or they actually, and I know this is going to sound crazy to some of you as adults, so they had no desire to do it. That's generally the definition here of the eunuchs that are born. It's either they can't do it, that means there's a physical limitation, okay? A physical limitation. And I don't want to entertain any questions about that, but I think you understand as adults what I'm talking about. And no, or a desire, and again, that's a little bit like, is that possible? And the answer is absolutely yes. Okay, so some are born that way. Some are born, and they're never going to want to engage in a marriage relationship. Number two, Jesus says, some are made eunuchs. He says, which were made eunuchs of men. You know what the term is called? There's been, you know, debate. Should people who molest people, should the males be done to them? Okay? But in Bible times, well, in ancient times, in certain Oriental areas, in certain of these places back in this parts of the world, they were castrated for religious reasons, because that was intended to please God, their God. Okay? So history tells us, I'm not talking about church history, but just general history tells that there were groups of people that did this to certain males, okay? So some were actually made eunuchs so that consummating the marriage would become impossible. Thirdly, says there have some that have made a choice to not have the relationship when it comes to consummating the marriage. They have chosen, for the spiritual reason, and I put a good cause, but the meaning a spiritual reason, for the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. They have chosen to remain single, to not engage in marriage, because for whatever reason they feel or believe it would limit their, not their advancement of the kingdom, but would limit the advancement of the kingdom. They have chosen to remain single. I think there's a category we could, some of us know people, or some of you may relate to. You've just chosen. You weren't born it. You weren't obviously made it, I hope. But thirdly, there's a choice. Jesus says all of these were valid in that time, in that society, ways of singleness. And he doesn't put it down. But you notice, this is his answer to what the disciples were saying. Well, nobody should get married. If marriage is this hard and no way we can get out of it, then shouldn't we all remain single? Jesus says, while singleness is good, and here are three ways that it's okay. And I'm not advocating that number two is okay, that we should be going out and making eunuchs, okay? But that's what had happened to some people in his day. That's what he's saying there. So Jesus is telling his disciples that there is an acceptable alternative to marriage, one that is given to some people, and that alternative is singleness. They are still usable by God, and they are instrumental, that's what he says, in furthering the kingdom. You notice that? They have chosen specifically to advance. Doesn't use the word advance, but they are instruments to continue the kingdom of heaven. So not everybody has to get married. But you know what else Jesus is saying? It's okay to get married. So he's lifting up singleness, but he's not at the same time putting down marriage. Of course not. Because notice his last phrase. Notice his last phrase. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Receive what? Well, receive the words that he said in verse 11. All men cannot receive the saying except to whom it is given. Jesus was saying that while singleness was a valid option, not everyone is going to be able to actually deal with being single. That's what the disciples said. Well, then everybody should be single. Jesus said, no. Not everybody's going to be able to deal with it. Some will. Here's three options. But not everybody is going to deal with it. And so marriage is just fine. And I, for one, think marriage is just dandy. And Jeff and Ned, and if we had other people here today, would have said marriage was not perfect. Marriage has been struggles. Marriage, but when focused on God more than yourself, marriage is an incredible thing. And I'm not an expert. I'm only 2018. 18 years into this. And you know, Judy's parents just Thursday hit 50 years. That's half a century. That's a long time. That's more years than I've, long time more years than I've been on this earth. Now, not quite for you, but.
Yeah, I was 16.
Yeah, there you go. 16. Some of you were barely a teenager, if that. Okay? 50 years. So, and for them, their marriage has had its struggles. As we heard in the discussion the other night at Fairway Cafe on Friday night, Judy's mom talked about the good things that they've had. I guess we all got mentioned in that part, so that was good. All the in-laws. But I also got mentioned in the bad part about those dating days. But, I asked her dad and it took 2 weeks to get an answer, so I don't think too many people have got, but, and there were some valid things there. You look back and you know, we're childish back then. Sometimes we still are, but marriage is a wonderful thing. And marriage, Jesus, I think, is saying marriage is for the benefit and betterment of the people who are getting married. Should be. Obviously, some are not going to marry, but Jesus was lifting up marriage, not putting it down. Marriage is a good thing. Amen? Amen. I'll say that. You know what Jesus was doing? He was lifting up the permanence of marriage. See, I think, that's all, I think that's a click. Yeah, there we go. Oh, two clicks. I think what happens when we get to this exception clause in the divorce passage, we get so caught up in that aspect of it that we are so concerned about what it is, and rightfully so, I'm not minimizing that, that we gloss over the fact that Jesus still says marriage is permanent. It's permanent. That's the design. That's the way it is. Should be. And so he was actually lifting up the value, a value and importance of marriage. He was back in the divine plan. Marriage is about God and his plan. It all comes back to that. So here's the conclusion of these two messages that probably should have been three messages. But can you just bring up this whole thing? We're going to review this in one fell swoop. Okay. We're going to answer the question from the original of the sermon title. Number one, here's what we learned. God created male and female. Something the devil is attacking at its core today. Okay? Please, hope you recognize that. Number two, God designed marriage. That's also being attacked. God designed marriage between male and female. That's being attacked. Number three, God has a plan for that marriage, and that is a one flesh relationship. That's being attacked. Pornography probably at the central core of that, led by the internet. Number four, the Mosaic law allowed for divorce, did not command it. But it was only allowed for uncleanness. But that actually was ultimately that cleanness that led to a bill of divorcement, and that was meant to simply protect the woman from the charge of adultery. But the hard line of Deuteronomy 24 is no divorce at all. Jesus only permitted divorce for the reason of fornication because it perverts the one flesh relationship, but he was not commanding it. And I don't think that's what God wants, is divorce, even if adultery has been committed. I don't think that's what God... repentance and forgiveness, and I'm not saying that, this is easy for somebody up here to say that. That isn't going to come overnight. But, it may take a little bit of time. And trust and all of that. So I can throw these words out, and it sounds like it happens quickly and it happens fast. Obviously, if you've been involved in any restitution of an adulterous relationship, that is not going to generally happen in one night. I suppose it could, and it probably has, but there's so much trust that's been eroded. And I can talk to you about trust being eroded and that people expect it to come back overnight. Doesn't happen. Number six, forgiveness and restoration is always an option, and it's always desirable over divorce. And we need to speak that. And I wish some people today would hear that. Not in this room, but... Number seven. Singleness is an option, but only for those who have been given that gift. And it's not bad. It's not a put-down. We should love you. Married people are not more important than you, than who are single. And please, if anybody ever sees me doing that to a single person, if you see me, you need to come talk to me, because I don't want to live that way. I want to treat it, and at times we probably do it, and we don't mean to do it. And I've got some areas to work on that in my own life. It's just, in some ways, it's easier as marrieds to talk to other marrieds, and we've got to break that down some in the church today. So is divorce okay? My conclusion is it's allowed for a very narrow reason. Again, this is the Matthew 19 passage, but it was never God's design, and it isn't, and it never will be. But it was allowed because it hit at the heart, adultery hits at the heart of the one flesh relationship, and it breaks that. I don't think there's, according to Matthew 19, you can't, if there's a divorce for another reason, it's not biblical. If we laugh at the burning toast, but if you say you get married at a young age and a few years later you say, you know what? We should have never gotten married. We were incompatible. Or, who was it that I heard recently that's been married 31 years and is getting divorced? I heard this. I don't remember now. It caused me to be sick when I hear this stuff. But, I don't love the person anymore. Maybe you don't love the person anymore, but it's not a ground for divorce, according to the scripture. Now, if you don't love the person, you got bigger problems. So, but that's not an excuse. You know, we can go through, does the Bible cover every possible last one? Because that's what everybody, some people are going to hurdle at me potentially, or at, you know, what about this, this, and this? I'll just take you back to the Bible, and you have to decide. I can't make the decision for you, but here's what the Bible says. Ultimately, God's design is for marriage between one man and one woman, which reflects the union between the three members of the Trinity, and also the union between Christ and his bride, the church. Anything besides that is a perversion of his design, it is sin, and it should be avoided, and that is why things like homosexuality is wrong, and others of those types, because the bride and bridegroom is the picture of Christ and the church. It perverts that. It perverts the picture of the Old Testament of God to his to Israel. It pictures and it perverts Adam and Eve. But so does adultery. So does whatever form you want to put in there. That's why those sins were so dealt with in the way that they were dealt with. Does God take this seriously? He did in the Old Testament, and I believe he does in the New Testament. So we should too.